to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. It's our last show of the month, February 26th, Saturday evening. Glad to be here with you on AM 1380 WLRM Radio, downtown Memphis, Tennessee. That's where we are tonight. And, of course, we are, as always, broadcasting to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, opening up our award-winning show to listeners around the world, across the country, and wherever they may be, libertynewsradio.com, and, of course, our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Had a great first hour, as we always do, with Keith Alexander. We caught up on some news after I was on my brief little vacation last week, talked about school consolidation. It's a local issue here in Memphis, but it also has wide-reaching ramifications to people who live in other cities across the country. And, of course, the manufactured controversy surrounding Nathan Bedford Forrest and his license plate in Mississippi. The SCV had a hand in that, and coincidentally, we'll be talking about the SCV quite a bit this hour. SCV being the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and to help me sort through another mess, Bill Rowland co-hosting with me this hour. He just walked in. Bill, how are you?
James, I'm just great. I've got on my Confederate uniform, and I'm ready to fight once again for the cause of states' rights and secession.
You know, it seems as though when the real fighting is to be done on this issue, when the real defense needs to be mounted in order to protect and preserve our culture and our heritage and our Southern symbols and heroes, and we talked a little bit about heroes in the first hour, is this show that does it. It isn't the groups that are exclusively geared to serve such a purpose. It's our radio show, which is primary purpose is to cover all of the, you know, give a paleo-conservative point of view for all the issues across the political spectrum. But I tell you, you know, we've been here before. If no one else will do it, we will ride to the sound of the guns and move forward in the defense of the South. And once again, Bill, we find ourselves in such a position.
Well, once again, the attacks on Confederate heritage have ramped up since the beginning of the sesquicentennial anniversary of the War Between the States, which, of course, began in 1861. And this celebration or this commemoration of the sesquicentennial will go on through 2015. But as you know, James, one issue that has come up is the apparent attempt by some heritage organizations, and we're going to speak directly to this concerning the Sons of Confederate Veterans, feel that they have either a monopoly or an exclusive right to celebrate or commemorate Confederate heritage. And I guess going along with that would be the United Daughters of the Confederacy, but certainly the most public and prominent organization would be the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And they do put on a good show when it comes to, you know, public spectacles and so forth. But I think that in doing so, in putting on the big spectacles and in putting on the big commemoratives with flags and bunting and banners, they overlook sometimes the very causes which precipitated the war. And the chief among those causes was the rights of constitutional rights and constitutional liberty. And the South, of course, invoked the 10th Amendment to justify secession from the Union. But apparently, at least in one case, in Montgomery, Alabama, the respect for rights and the respect for freedom of speech was largely not only ignored by members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, but in fact went straight to a violation. Now, over the years, I have been involved in various Southern heritage fights and struggles to keep our symbols and monuments and traditions alive and on public display. And the Sons of Confederate Veterans have done this as well. But apparently they've lost touch with what these symbols should really mean. and they more and more are turning the Confederate flag in particular into some sort of relic or some sort of shrine. And in fact, the Confederate flag is part of a continuum of Southern history. It is not simply a relic of the 1861 to 1865 period. And I think the Sons of Confederate Veterans have more and more drifted away from what the flag means to most Southerners and have tried to narrow that meaning down to simply a historical perspective. And I think that's a big mistake, because they are alienating ordinary Southerners who feel a very strong affinity, a very strong attachment to the South and the Confederacy, but they're not always as well-informed as some members of the Confederate veterans. And so they've taken on this sort of attitude of a royal priesthood when it comes to the Confederacy, and that's simply wrong. As we know, in Montgomery, Alabama, there was a big celebration of the convening of the first Confederate Congress in 1861, and the Sons of Confederate Veterans and reenactor groups showed up in uniforms and Confederate flags flying, a very impressive display of Confederate pride. But another man who attended this event was our good friend, Olaf Childress. And for many years, Olaf Childress has published the First Freedom newspaper, which is an unapologetically pro-Confederate publication. This is a man who is pro-Confederate all the way, pro-South, pro-10th Amendment, pro-states' rights, has been outspoken, has been part of a Confederate heritage battles for many years. And Olaf Childress had taken the opportunity to hand out his newspapers at this big event, well-attended event in Montgomery, which was being, I guess, sponsored by the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Well, apparently one SCV member objected to Mr. Childress's newspapers and took it upon himself to try to expel Olaf from the area where the commemoration was being held. And Olaf said no, because he felt his First Amendment rights were being violated. And subsequently, Olaf was arrested for handing out his newspapers to this very large crowd. And this same member went about trying to collect these newspapers and prevent anyone from reading them or showing them to the press. Now, regardless of whatever his intentions were, this certainly was really a very bad thing to do to Olaf, and was certainly inconsiderate of Olaf's rights, and the kind of thing they would accuse the Yankees of doing, quite frankly. This is the kind of thing that the Sons of Confederate Veterans, if it happened to some Southern 32, they would be absolutely wringing their hands about it and saying, oh, see, this is another example of Lincoln the tyrant. Well, this is an example of the tyranny of heritage commemoration when it's lost touch with the real meaning of history.
Hey, Bill, I want to ask you to hold up right there. You've done an excellent job of setting the table for this story. Folks, it gets a lot more heinous as we go on, and go on we will, right after this commercial break. Stay tuned. Pretty important story here, I think, and it cuts to the heart of an even bigger issue, which is our organizations cowing to political correctness, the organizations to which we belong. We'll explain more right after this.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, in that first segment of this hour, Bill Rowland was covering, with his typical flair and panache, an issue that had come up just last week, February 19th, in fact, in Montgomery, Alabama. And just to kind of reset everything that we're going to be talking about this hour, because we are going to be kind of exhaustively examining this story, and I think there are enough ramifications that spin from this story to warrant such an allotment of time. But it seems as though we're a little Confederate heavy this program. We're talking about a as I said, a manufactured controversy, and that's what it was. surrounding a Nathan Bedford Forrest proposed license plate in Mississippi. That is current news, so we bring it up. And, of course, what took place in Montgomery last week is also current news, although we do certainly take pride in the fact that each April the Political Cesspool rolls out a month-long tribute to Confederate History Month, and that'll be coming up this April as well. So if you're liking the show tonight, you'll love it in April when we dedicate an hour of each program to all things Southern and our tribute to the boys in gray. Bill Rowland and I, as other members of the Political Cesspool staff, are legitimate sons of Confederate veterans. We may not belong to the organization itself, although Bill and I both have in the past. And Bill, he'll be too modest to say so on the air, but was a very prominent leader in the SCV at one time. But we are still sons of Confederate veterans by blood, and that's something, of course, that we're very proud of. And one thing that this show has never done, and we're not doing it tonight. Now, I want to be clear about that. We are not attacking another organization that we would typically be friendly with. We have a great reputation of working well with others. We don't let petty egos and minor disagreements muddy the waters, and I know a lot of people have that problem. But at the same time, I think if you look at the track record of the Political Cesspool Radio program, you look at the victories we've won and the battle scars that we wear, I think we have earned the right to objectively criticize some pretty major problems that we see popping up from time to time. And so that kind of resets the table. What Bill was alluding to was this. On February 19th in Montgomery, Alabama, there was a huge pro-Confederate rally that attracted over 1,000 participants. One of those participants was a good man, a decent man, a friend of ours, Olaf Childress. Now, Olaf, just so you know, is 78 years old, and he has faithfully published a small monthly newspaper for years. He loves his country. He possesses the kind of honor that many men lack in this day and age. And as Bill said, he speaks his mind and isn't afraid to advance his ideas in the court of public opinion. Sadly, Mr. Childress was arrested while at this rally, this SCV rally, due to the fact that he was passing out free copies of his newspaper to people who were coming up to him and asking for them. It is now, I guess, just to put it mildly, believed, or very strongly believed, that the Sons of Confederate Veterans organization itself turned out to be the one who had a hand in Olaf being arrested. The following, and I'll read it quickly and turn it back over to Bill, comes from a press release that Olaf wrote. And it reads that Olaf Childress, editor of the First Freedom newspaper, was arrested apparently due to actions taken by the leadership of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Olaf was peacefully distributing free newspapers on a public sidewalk to those willing to accept them. The SCV held a permit for the February 19th event, but I wonder if they would have requested the arrest of a peaceful black protester. It was much easier for them to violate Olaf's right to free speech. If the SCV was responsible, which seems to be the case, permit or not, they had no legal control over any private citizen who was on the sidewalk distributing any type of free material out of the way of the parade. Their own ancestors fought for just such rights. Olaf Childress was expressing his opinions via his newspaper. Apparently, the SCV did not like the positions taken by this newspaper, even though, as Bill mentioned, it almost exclusively covers ideas related to Southern heritage. Some of the leadership requested that Olaf stop distributing the February issue of the First Freedom newspaper, which actually promotes the very Jefferson Davis event that they were at on its front page. Several members, now this is where the plot thickens, ladies and gentlemen. I ask you to pay keen attention here. Several members of the police and a SWAT team were used to arrest Olaf. And again, this is a 78-year-old man. He was placed in handcuffs behind his back, pushed to a brick wall, placed in leg cuffs, and taken to jail where he remained for 7 hours. He was in a cell that contained no furniture or toilet. His clothes had been removed from him except for his shorts. Olaf is very forgiving. The press release concludes and has stated that he hopes that all of the Southern organizations will continue to function. He does not intend to sue the SCV. This is a sentiment that Olaf has expressed to me this week over the phone, although he is due to appear at 8 a.m. in Montgomery on March 16th at the municipal court on charges of disorderly conduct. Bill, that's the story was not able to reach Olaf tonight in order to have him on the program, but I have corresponded with him via email and voicemail a couple of times this week, and that is the story. So let's take it at face value, because I am willing to say that that is fairly factual based upon our research. Where do you go from there, Bill?
Well, I'd like to read you this piece from the current Confederate Veteran Magazine, the official publication of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And it's some comments from the Commander-in-Chief, R. Michael Givens. And I don't know R. Michael Givens. I don't know how he stands on a lot of things. But I'll just let his own words speak for themselves. He quotes Nicolas Boileau Despreaux from the 17th century, a French writer. And the quote is, "Honor is like an island, rugged without shores. We can never re-enter it once we are on the outside." And I think it's a telling quote from Commander Givens, because whose honor really stands to question here, Olaf Childress's or the Sons of Confederate Veterans? And I think that this is an issue of honor. And I think if they are honorable and they will constantly assert their honor and their dignity and their integrity and so forth, when you address the Sons of Confederate Veterans, they're always very quick to address the honor issue, then I think if they are honorable, then they will certainly give Olaf an apology and will certainly try to reconcile with him. Now, as for my part, I stand with the least of my comrades when they are under attack or oppression or being victimized by a larger group. And in this case, I will stand with Olaf Childress, because he is one of our comrades, and he certainly has tried to be a comrade to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and I think that, that his treatment is disgraceful. There's no other way to put it. I don't know whether this was an act from the top ranks of the SCV, the upper echelon, or whether it was simply something that ran out of control after one person complained, but certainly Olaf deserves an apology. Let me read another quote, this from Commander Givens himself. And he's discussing here, apparently, his attempt to make some sort of headway against the press prejudice against the SCV and the Confederate heritage. And he says this, in reference to a television show, "I responded to insults levied against us by Al Sharpton by sending him a personal letter, then making the letter open through a press release. Sharpton allowed that the South waged war on America to overthrow the government, and the secession gala was designed to celebrate treason and slavery. I corrected his mistakes and requested an opportunity to sit together and discuss our differences and our commonalities and hopefully do some good for our country in the process. Thus far, I have yet to receive an answer."
Hey, Bill, now, Bill. But once again, my friend, time for a commercial break. When we come back on the flip side, I'm tossing it right back over to you so you can continue, because you're certainly on a roll right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the arrest of 78-year-old newspaper publisher Olaf Childress, an arrest that seems to have been prompted by the Sons of Confederate Veterans themselves. Why did they do it? We'll give you our opinion right after this.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. All right, spending the entire hour this time, and it's very rare that we will spend or allocate an entire hour of our show. Our time is far too valuable to any single story, but I think that the ramifications of this story are big enough that they warrant just such an investment. We're talking about the arrest of Olaf Childress, an arrest that seems to have been prompted by the Sons of Confederate Veterans themselves. This is an SCV rally in Montgomery, Alabama last week. Olaf Childress, a 78-year-old, you know, son of the South, who is promoting the very event that they're all at in his newspaper. He's passing out newspapers. Well, as Bill is hypothesizing here, there's probably one, maybe two people out of 1,000 that thought Olaf's newspaper was a little bit too hard right, if you will. And so they complained, and then Olaf didn't want to be run off a public sidewalk, so the SCV had the local police and apparently the SWAT team help make the decision easy for him, and he ended up spending 7 hours in the clink. And that really is, Bill, we're going to get to the after effects of this and why they did it, but first of all, you got to just assume that the SCV is just so afraid of being called a name by the media or the Southern Poverty Law Center that they're willing to sell their own supporters down the river if they think that will absolve them of these forthcoming attacks.
James, you hit the bullseye there. For at least two decades, the Sons of Confederate Veterans have done everything possible to distance themselves or to absolve themselves of any hint or trace of racism. They are terrified of the word racism or racist. And for the 20 years that I have been involved with the organization, first at a very active level and then, of course, really at an inactive level, the SCV has put in various measures and tried to do things to prove to the world that they are racist. And this is an important, I think this is an important topic because over the years, they've done things, for instance, like write resolutions condemning the Ku Klux Klan and Nazis and other objectionable groups for using their flag in public display. And they have instituted an affirmative action program to try to recruit blacks into the organization, that is, allowing blacks to become members who had ancestors who may have toted a bucket of yams across an open field or dug a ditch or been a body servant, and putting them at the same level as the Confederate soldiers who are actually doing the fighting and dying in the war. This is an affirmative action program. You've lowered the standards in order to admit blacks. I don't know what else to call it. So they've done everything possible to try to build a defense against accusations of racism. And ultimately, this effort has failed because the enemy doesn't care what you do to try to change your ways to satisfy them. If they have labeled you something, that's what you are.
You're never going to – and Bill, that is what I preach so often, what we all do. You will never – first of all, the SPLC, for instance, is not – in the business of being objective. They're never going to listen to reason. You will never be able to shake the false charge of racism that they've stuck on you. You will never be able to absolve yourselves from their condemnation. You know, that's what my whole book was about, Racism, Schmacism. We have got to, unlock this socio-political nuclear bomb. I don't care if the SPLC engages in baseless character assassination against me. And unfortunately, so many people are so scared of being called a name that they are willing to fall on their sword and give everything. They will give away everything as long as, in their minds, it might help them not be labeled a racist. And, here you got people here, and I'm reading from the SPLC's own report of this gathering last week, and you've got people at the podium of this Jefferson Davis SCV commemorative parade in Montgomery, and this is what they're saying, Bill, and I'm quoting now, "We need to be more like Rosa Parks." And this is, the SCV speaking to 1,000, white Sons of Confederate Veterans, saying, "We need to be more like Rosa Parks. We need to go from the back of the bus to the front." If you are putting your cause on that level, you have already given away every leverage you've got. You're operating from a position that you will never be able to achieve victory from.
Well, you've essentially turned into the very thing that you're supposed to oppose. Now, it was another interesting part to that SPLC report, Hate Watch report. Now, this is the Hate Watch report reporting on the Sons of Confederate Veterans, an organization that has, for at least the last 15 or 20 years, done everything possible to rid itself of any taint of racism or to portray itself as an anti-racist organization. and have molested and perverted and distorted history to do so. I mean, the SEV has come up with some pretty wild historical viewpoints that try to justify them as almost converting themselves into a civil rights march. You know, the Confederacy was really a giant civil rights movement. But nevertheless, the fact remains that the organization perceives itself as the royal priesthood of Confederate history, and they simply don't have the right to that claim. The Southern people have the right to that claim. Real Southerners have a right to express their Confederate heritage in the way they see appropriate.
Yeah, like Olaf, if you're not in the good graces of the SCV, you're not sanctioned to speak on behalf of your ancestors.
Well, that seems to be the mentality. But the thing that's interesting and rather a part of this is the SPLC Hate Watch list lists one Kelly Barrow, the current lieutenant commander-in-chief of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, as an extremist, and follows up by implying that he is a racist and he is really one of the extremists in the SCV who is pushing the secessionist agenda or whatever the SPLC's latest hysteria is. But the funny part of this is that Kelly Barrow has consistently been one of the most outspoken and noisy anti-racists in the SCV. He wrote a book about Black Confederates, which is mostly anecdotal reminiscences that really do not have any that has no documentation behind any of his claims. But nevertheless, it was actually Kelly Barrow who started the whole Black Confederate phenomenon. And yet now here he is in the same category as the Ku Klux Klan or all these other extremists and racists. He's there because that's where the SPLC put him, and he's not going to be able to wiggle his way out of it. They're not going to turn around and say, we made a mistake. Kelly Barrow is really one of the good guys. He's labeled now, like Lee Miller from Memphis was labeled by the SPLC as being an extremist, and there's nothing that they're going to do to try to wiggle out of it. They can pass all the resolutions they want. They can stand up and wave books about Black Confederates. It's going to make no difference. They've been labeled, they've been branded, and they're just going to have to learn to live with it. Which I think the great irony is that, you know, we've been doing this radio show for many years now, and I don't think they've ever labeled us extremists, James. We may be white nationalists or white supremacists or whatever, but we've never been labeled extremists. And the word extremist implies terrorist.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, of course, they label us white supremacists and racists and all these things. And I certainly don't think that's applicable. And of course, we go into that in my book. But the point is, at the end of the day, we have been able to use the baseless attacks of the SPLC against us to our favor because we meet them head on. We don't apologize. We don't try to wiggle out of it. We understand that these people are sociopaths and there's going to be no debate. You're not going to win them over. They are there to make money and they are there to demonize and vilify conservatives with whom they don't agree. And that is all they do. And when you understand that, you don't feel the need to curry favor with them. And so we have it. And that's one of the reasons that I think a lot of people look up to our program for leadership is because, we're not trying to curry favor with the people who are trying to use Marxism to destroy the very country that our ancestors carved from a wilderness. And it really pains me to see people that you know in their heart of hearts are in agreement with us on the issues, even the most sensitive issues. And they're laying down and rolling over like a yellow dog trying to appease the SPLC. It has never worked. It will never work. And when you do that, Bill, and this is something you taught me very early on in the run of this radio program, when you do that, it only makes their attacks that much more vicious. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to wrap up this story right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We'll return. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We've been covering a story for the entirety of this second hour, and it's a story that deals with the arrest of Olaf Childress, 78-year-old newspaper publisher, an arrest that apparently had the fingerprints of the Sons of Confederate Veterans themselves, the organization, all over it. And, you know, we don't have any disdain for the SCV here, but like I said, I think that our victories and the example that we've set over 7 years of broadcasting and taking our fight to the streets from time to time has put us in a position to where we can objectively criticize some of the other organizations out there. I agree with the stated purpose of the SCV. It goes without saying. This radio program, we talked in the first hour about our defense of Nathan Bedford Forrest Park here in Memphis back in 2005. We received the, you know, Dixie Defender Award from the SCV, which is one of their very high awards. Over the years, we've had different SCV camps buy sponsorship on this radio program. So it's not that we have a problem with the SCV itself, but certainly it would appear that its leadership apparatus is infected with the same political correctness that it's plaguing so many right-of-center organizations, or organizations that should be right-of-center. You know, Olaf Childress, 78 years old, one of the nicest guys in the world. If you've ever met him, you couldn't help but love him. You know, he's not some radical skinhead or some knucklehead going out and causing trouble and pushing people around. He's passing out a newspaper that he publishes at his own expense that was promoting the SCV event that they were at. And the SCV had him arrested because apparently probably one or two people complained that they thought he was a little bit too hardcore. Now, you would expect, Bill, this kind of behavior at maybe the Democratic National Convention, or I guess in this day and age, you'd expect this kind of behavior at CPAC. But at an SCV rally, you know, if they did truly have a hand, and all indications are pointing that they did, in the arrest of this senior citizen, once again, in summary, it serves as further proof that so many of these quote-unquote leadership organizations are infected with political correctness and the unexplainable yearning to be absolved from their guilt by the very enemies who hate them and everything they stand for. Does the SCV truly believe that by throwing Olaf Childress under the bus, that they're going to be somehow able to deter the SPLC from writing these silly hit pieces against him? And do they think that they'll be able to appease the SPLC and curry favor with them by showing that they have the strength to push around a feeble octogenarian? You know, I wrote that on the blog, and I'm waiting for an answer from that. And Bill, once again, why is the SCV using Red Rosa as an example by which to follow? It compromises their position. It puts them in a position unsuitable to give orders and unsuitable to win.
It's the mentality that you can have common ground with your worst enemy. And that's what Michael Gibbons says in his piece. This comes back to Michael Gibbons' piece, where he says, and I quote, "I corrected his mistakes and requested an opportunity," talking about Al Sharpton, "to sit together and discuss our differences and our commonalities." Now, what commonality could the SCV possibly have with a race-hustling, white-hating fraud like Al Sharpton? What he's admitting is there must be some commonalities when there are none, or there shouldn't be. And certainly we have no commonality with Red Rosa Parks either, who did as much as anyone to destroy Southern institutions and the Southern way of life. Why would you want to be anything like Rosa Parks? Once you have sat down with Rosa Parks, you've become one of the creatures that has been working diligently to destroy the South for 150 years. So, you know, the Sons of Confederate Veterans is very misguided in this particular instance with Olaf Childress. And, you know, I want to urge members of the SCV out there, remember, this is not a full double-fisted assault on the SCV. It's simply pointing out a mistake, and a bad mistake, a disgraceful mistake. And I urge you as members to contact the national headquarters and really demand an apology for Olaf, because he's one of us. He's not an enemy. He's one of us. And that's all he's asking for, is an apology for having his rights violated. and certainly urge them to do so. And, you know, and continue the good work of commemorating the Confederacy and honoring the Confederate soldier. But this is dishonorable, and it deserves to be corrected. It needs to be corrected. Olaf needs an apology. And well, for true honor, that's what should happen.
Yeah, and Bill, you know, you mentioned their need to find common ground with the enemy as a way to make their cause, our cause, legitimate. You know, you would have never heard Rosa Parks or Michael King, a.k.a. MLK, Dr. Reverend Jr. You would have never found in any of their speeches, you know, we need to be more like the Confederates who fought against the odds, who were outmanned and outsupplied but never gave up. Never would you have found any of those civil rights icons draw a parallel to our virtues, and yet we find our leaders and the organizations that are supposed to be advancing our cause doing exactly that. And again, to be repetitive, to do so takes away any bit of leverage you could have had. It's admitting guilt, and it does all the things that you wouldn't want when you're fighting a battle in the court of public opinion and when you're fighting a political battle. And so this is where we are. And it's not just the SCV. And as Bill said, this isn't it sounds as if we're coming down hard on the SCV, but I just couldn't find – I haven't found an instance that really brings into sharp focus what's wrong with a lot of the conservative organizations like this one did. And since the SCV was, you know, obviously the organization involved in this, they're getting the brunt of it right now. But it's not just the SCV, and it's not everyone in the SCV. I mean, there's a lot of great people in the SCV. I mean, there's a lot of people listening to the show right now that are great SCV members. It's just like there are, you know, most of the Republican voters, the people who go out there and elect jumped up white trash like George Bush, would fundamentally agree with the mission statement of this radio program. That doesn't mean that, you know, all Republicans are bad just because, you know, they go in and indutifully elect people that you know, have nothing to do with their ideas. But all of the right-of-center organizations, save, you know, the Political Cesspool, Council of Conservative Citizens, and maybe a couple of others, seem to be engaging in doing battle, you know, this crazy scheme to do battle from a compromised position. And that really, I think, Bill, is the reason why we spent an hour talking about this. We focused on the specifics, but the broader story here is the organizations that are supposed to be representing our people. Al Sharpton never apologizes, you know, and good for them. You know, I agree, you know, everybody should have their organizations and their spokespeople who represent them. You know, the homosexuals certainly have it. The Jews have it with the ADL. The Mexicans have it with La Raza and countless other advocacy organizations. God knows the blacks have it. I don't have a problem with that. I think that that's natural and healthy. But what do our organizations do? What do our organizations do? Well, they try to – they get up there and say, I'm sorry. And they arrest people who are out there trying to fight for them. This is the broad – scope of this story. We've got to have better leadership than what we're getting, not just from the SCV, but across the board, certainly in the Republican Party, CPAC. You can name, you can reel off a list, you know, a mile long, Bill.
Well, I do have a problem with these race-based organizations like La Raza and the NAACP, not because they exist, but because their sole purpose is attacking white people and white, so-called white privilege or white prerogative. And even now, the very existence of the white race. So I do have a problem with them in their open-ended aggression against white people and everything we do. And as we've said on this show and on the blog, a racist means white person. You know, that's what it means. There's no escaping it. If you're white, then the label is already stamped on your forehead, racist. So the SCB needs to pull their britches up, stop trying to play into politically correct waltzes and dances with people like Al Sharpton, and they need to stand on their principles and stand on the principles of the old Confederacy and stop trying to fit into a world which is absolutely viciously hostile to everything Confederate. If this is a stand-up fight, you know, the great thing is the South has got 4 years to vindicate the Confederacy the right way, and certainly the SCV doesn't want to get off on the wrong foot and start putting Rosa Parks in the same saddle with Robert E. Lee.
Well, Bill, I don't know what more we could say, but we certainly didn't waste a minute. We were talking before the show tonight, you know, can we stretch this out for a full hour? You know, we might do two or three segments on this story, but I don't think we wasted a second. I think everything we said needed to be said. And again, this applies across the board. If you're in the SCV, though, you know, let your voice be heard about this. As Bill said, this is the 150th anniversary of the war between the states. It's starting this year. It's going to go through 2015. You know, let's honor our heroes the right way. And I guarantee you what happened to Olaf Childress wasn't anything that we need to have a part of. Bill Rowland, my friend, thank you so much for sitting in with me this second hour. Great job as always.
All right, James, my one prediction, if they haven't heard this message, my one prediction is there will be a black on the cover of the Confederate veteran in a forthcoming issue, and he will be labeled a hero.
Believe it or not.
Bill Rowland, everybody. We'll be back with the third and final hour right after this.
Successful, coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.